this morning. Thank you for being here for the third week of our series titled, Does God Control Everything? We've been looking at what is, I guess, theologically called the sovereignty of God. And last week, we looked at the subject of free will and how God gave us the power to choose life and death. I asked the question, if God gave us free will, do we have the power to interrupt or detour God's plan for our lives? We saw through the story of King Hezekiah and King Josiah that the answer to that question is a resounding yes. We can interrupt what God wants to do in our lives. We learned that God had a great plan for all of us, and when we get to a certain age of understanding, our choices have an effect on that plan. God has given each of us a free will. He wants us to participate with His plan for our life. We learned nothing is automatic. God's will does not automatically come to pass in our lives. We must learn, and here's the key, to participate in His plan. You have to choose to follow His plan for your life. You have to pray, grab a hold of the promises of God. You have to use your faith. You have to get the Word of God and apply it into your life. Begin to live the way the Bible tells us that we need to live. God does His part, and you do your part. See, that's important. God does His part, and you do your part. But what's interesting about it, God's not going to do His part until you start doing your part. Because He's done everything for us, and then you have to make that decision to cooperate with what God is trying to do. Here's something that we have to understand and recognize that is going on in our world every single day. We have an enemy, and that enemy knows this truth, so he uses every strategy, every power, every force at his disposal to get us off track of God's plan for our lives and the plan that God has for humanity. Our job is to resist the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and humble yourself, come to God, resist the devil, and it says that he will flee from you. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But listen, we need to understand this. And it's hard for us as human beings to get this in our lives right now. Listen, if you're a confessing Christian who has plans and those plans do not benefit the kingdom of God or His mission in the world, they are not God's plans. They're yours. See, because why? God gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. Is it going to cost you something to sacrifice your plans for God's plans? Absolutely it is. But what's the eternal consequence? See, many times we don't think about the eternal consequence of when our plan interrupts God's plan. You never want to find yourself at odds with God. And it isn't because He wants to be at odds with you. It's because we don't cooperate with the direction that He has for us. And you know what's interesting? That same attitude can trickle down in our involvement and the value we see in the local church. See, our commitment and our involvement in the local church financially and with our gifts, our talents, and our attendance directly affects the success of the church and your personal success as a Christian as well. See, when you decide to commit to being a part of a local church, you're saying, I want to cooperate with God's ordained vision and mission of that church, and you do that through support, you do that through attendance, you do that through involvement in yourself and the priorities of that local church. When we do that, we are cooperating with God's plan and God's plan for you individually and God's plan for mankind on the earth. Because listen, there is nothing more important to God than the church. Nothing. There is nothing more important to the Father than His church. Why? Because it is the body of Christ. It represents who Jesus Christ is. And God is not going to allow that representation to degrade, devalue, or shame His Son in any way. So we have a responsibility to prioritize that. Now, with that said, listen, let's get into a couple of things today I want to talk about here real quickly, is understanding the concept of power and authority when it comes to this question about God's direct control over everything on the earth. The first thing we need to understand is God is indeed the all-powerful one. We don't deny that. One of his names is El Shaddai, which means Lord God Almighty. We don't question whether God is the all-powerful one. But here's the deal. Even though God is the all-powerful one, he chose, by what has been called, to self-limit his power and authority by delegating a portion to mankind. He delegated a portion of that to mankind. Look at Psalm 115 and verse 16 says, "The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the human race." He has given to the human race. That doesn't mean this doesn't belong to God. Obviously it does. But there are certain things that belong to God, and there are certain things that belong to us. It's our responsibility. We're going to talk about it. When you read in the book of Genesis chapter 1, when he made Adam and Eve and told them to have dominion, with delegation, God made man responsible for what happens on the earth. See, we as human beings follow that pattern every day. God set something in motion from the very beginning, and we follow that pattern today. We delegate to others and give them power to make decisions on our behalf. Have you ever heard of power of attorney? You sign off, somebody has power to make decisions for you in your name. See, that's delegating of power and authority. Why do we do that? See, we do that because God started that pattern from the very beginning of time, and we still follow it. But then we see in the Bible, when God did that, Adam sinned. We don't know how long it was from the time that God created Adam and Eve until this particular sin occurred. We know it was a couple of chapters, and it took about, what, 5 minutes of reading for us? So I think it was a little bit longer than about 5 minutes, but we don't know how long it was, but Adam sinned, and when he did that, if you follow this course of thinking, he yielded his God-given delegated authority to Satan, who then Satan became the god of this world, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And after this, we see all through history of mankind, God began to make covenants with people and the nation of Israel. Now, I don't even have time to get into all of the understanding about a covenant and why this is so uniquely different than a contract. But because God did this, and this is why he did it, and this is what I believe the reason why he did it, because I believe these covenants is what gave God the legal right to intervene in specific ways with specific people. We found out last week that God, through his own spoken word, gave himself limited power on purpose. See, when he wrote down the words that you and I have today, he has to follow these words. Because if he doesn't follow these words, then he loses the very person that he is. So he had to do that. But when he makes these covenants, he gives himself an opportunity, an open door to be able to be involved in human life. Without the covenant, he couldn't, because he had limited himself to delegated authority. We don't see anywhere in the Bible, before the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, after from Adam until that time, where God actually said he was going to come and live among them. See, when he made the covenant with the people of Israel, and he made them follow all these things, he said, "Now I'm going to come and live with you." Before that time, because of the fall, he couldn't. But they did all these sacrifices so that God could come and literally, through his Spirit, be here among us. But he can only dwell in the tabernacle, in his purest form, in the tabernacle. And then he would tell them, remember, he goes, "Look, I'm just going to give you guys a hint," he said. "When I'm out here walking around, make sure when you guys use the restroom," this was how physical and literal God is. "Look," he said, "when you guys use the restroom, get a shovel and go outside the camp. Because I don't, when I'm walking through here, I don't want to walk in any of that." I mean, that's how literal God was, that he says, "I want to be here with you." God made a way to do that because, see, justice is a big part of God's character and his nature. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it tells us, says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all of his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteousness, righteous and upright is he. Because of this, God must have legal means to bless people in order for him to stay true to his own nature. Covenants are those legal means. It's man's invitation to God to intervene for us. Now, we go through thousands of years. Jesus comes on the scene, and this is what's interesting. He comes on the scene, and when he gets on the scene, he comes with a new covenant. A new covenant. But this new covenant could not be introduced and put into effect unless it was done by a human being. It fulfilled their part of the covenants that had been made prior to that point. No human being since the days of Adam has been able to live a righteous enough life, perfect, to fulfill all the demands on the human end of a covenant. Humanity could never keep the covenants. We all know that. It could never happen, but Jesus did. Look at the Bible even calls Jesus the second Adam. Why did he call him the second Adam? Not because he's literally Adam, but because he started a new creation. The same way Adam, look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:47, it says, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who made of dust. As is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Man, Jesus Christ, comes to earth, lives a truly righteous life, fulfills all the requirements of the law, established in prior covenants. Read the book of Hebrews. It tells us that. The whole thing about Jesus Christ and what he did as a man. And he takes all authority back from Satan through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, we know that Satan had authority because when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, Satan said, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. So Satan had authority here. Jesus didn't deny that in his conversations with the devil. But he came, and when he died and was resurrected, Jesus stripped the power from that ruler, the God of this world, out of his hands. Jesus then takes that power and authority and delegates it to us, the rightful children of God through new birth, through the new covenant. See, so we're new covenant people, not old covenant people. We have a different access point, we have different authority and different power than old covenant people had. They couldn't get Jesus in them because their spirit was not reborn. But ours is, and now the power of the Holy Spirit, the very nature of God, can live in us. Listen to this. Jesus said, the Bible tells us, Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom of God. That represents power and authority. Power and authority. Look at Matthew 16 and verse 19. Now listen to this. This is amazing when you just meditate on this one right here. It says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth. But he will not allow anything you don't allow. That's crazy. See, did Jesus just say, God will allow what you allow? He did, didn't he? I didn't write this, right? I'm just reading what was written. See, the question you need to answer for yourself, because if we wonder why this happens, why that happens, we always want to blame or attach it to God because we don't understand. But if it's true that we allow it, God allows what we allow, then maybe some of the stuff that's going on all around us, it's our fault. It's our fault. Maybe that's why. See, we have to answer that question. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Look at this. I'm going to break this down just a little bit to show you what God does. Okay, this is a really wonderful verse. A lot of Christian people know this verse, quote it all the time, but they miss the important part of this verse. Look at it. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now listen, it is not true that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it is true that he could if he had not chosen to work his power through us, His delegated authority. See, God can do it. That's not the question. But he's chosen not to. But he does it when we do. Look at, he said, look at the last part of that verse. According to the power that works in us. Not talking about the power that works in him. It's the power that works in us. See, God flows through his people to do. That's the way he chose to do it. He flows through you and I to do it. Now, there are varying degrees of that, and we're going to look at that real quick, but I just want you to see that God is not taking control over everything by himself. There are certain things God keeps all the control to himself that he hasn't shared with us, but there are other things that he has shared with us, and I'm going to give you a few just for us to look at real quick. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, known passage of Scripture. Jesus is with his followers. He's minutes away from being taken back to heaven after his death, burial, resurrection. He's been on the earth for 40 days. Now he's ready to go back to heaven. They don't know this is the exact moment he's going to be taken to heaven. They don't know it. They're all up there together. And while they're standing there, his disciples ask a question. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Or he's asking, are you going to set up your earthly reign right now? When is this going to happen? They've already asked this question many times before because they are curious about things like we are. Don't we want to know when all this is going to happen? Wouldn't you like to know? Well, look at what Jesus says. Listen to what his response is. It is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. This is something that Jesus is explaining to them that is completely under God's control. It's not ours. It's at his discretion. Jesus himself, the Bible says, doesn't even know. It says the angels of God don't even know when this end is going to happen. This is under the Father's authority, not the children. Don't you as a parent have certain things that you have authority over and your kids don't? Well, here's what's interesting. You begin to give your kids more authority and more freedom when they're more responsible with the freedoms and the authority that you have given them. We want things from God, but God is going, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and just make a couple statements. Anyway, let's move on or I'll run out of time. So why would Jesus say his own authority if it was all in God's power and control? He wouldn't. He wouldn't have to say anything. Jesus is establishing a truth that his followers needed to know. There are certain things under the Father's control, and there are certain things under our control. So what is under our control? If you continue that verse, he says, but you will receive power. What's power? It's also another way of saying authority. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In other words, Jesus is telling them what is under their control. And he says, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. One of the things that's under our control is the power to be a witness. Now, I don't even have time this morning to get into all that that means. It isn't just the power to do witnessing. That's what we think. We think, oh yeah, I got to go out now and one of the little pamphlets and tell everybody and go door to door. Now, that's not what he, do you really think that's all that Jesus was talking about? No. There's a whole set of ideals and concepts that go into the idea of being a witness, and he wants us to go carry out that in our life to other people. See, this right here, the Father has left completely in our hands. Angels can't do it. Angels cannot share the gospel with anyone. That's our job. What else do we have power over? We have power over the devil. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 tells us, Jesus said, I have given you authority. I have given you authority. Now, I want to read something to you that's going to jump into a different kind of thinking, but along the same lines. Look at Psalm chapter 8 and also in Hebrews chapter 2. These verses are identical in the Old Testament and then one in the New Testament. So I'm going to read this. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4 through 6. It says this. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Okay, but now I want to focus on this word for a second. In the King James and in the New King James Version, the word translated as angels, that word is translated over 2,500 times in the King James Bible as God. And only once here in this passage is angels. In every other translation, they use the word God. But I don't think that's bad or good. I'm just making a point here. Now look. Now if you go over to the New Testament and you read Hebrews chapter 2, and this is important right here. Hebrews chapter 2, and I encourage you to read all of the before and afters of this, but Hebrews chapter 2 and beginning in verse 6, look at what this says. Same verse. It says, but one testifies in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. In the Old Testament, we see that word angels, but also in all the other translations, they use the word God. Okay, you have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we, now here, listen. But now we do not see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned for glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Now, why is this important? It's important because we need to understand that this is actually showing what you and I are in our relationship with Christ. People, when they translated the scripture, couldn't see it. They couldn't understand it. They could not understand this relationship of us being in Christ and Christ being in us and us being in him. They couldn't get that. But this in Hebrews explains that this whole thing is about Jesus Christ. He was made as a human being to come and start something new. See, he gave that to his children. We don't see all of these things under his authority. Why don't we see all these things under his authority? Because he is wanting to reign on earth through you and I. Through you and I. Look at 1 Peter 3:22 says, who has gone into heaven, excuse me, and is at the right hand of God? It's angels, authorities, and powers having been made subject to him. When Jesus died on the cross, every power and every authority and everything was subject to him, even death itself. He overcame death itself. He released portions of his power to us. Like you and I would release responsibility to our children. And the more they get mature, the more you give to them. Right now, God is wanting us to grow up into greater and more incredible spiritual things so that he can release more to you and I. See, is it possible that it's not God that's letting things happen to us? Maybe it's us. See, it's not our power or authority. Rather, it's his power and authority given to work through us. Now, lastly, here's the question. How does all of this end? See, how does all of this end? You have the beginning. Now, what the disciples wanted to know, how does this end? Here's the question. Do we have anything, any responsibility in when all of this ends? When Jesus comes back. See, if God has relinquished and given unto us power and authority all through the years, thousands of years, he has released power and authority to humanity. And he said, I come by invitation. I come through covenants. All of these things happen on earth because we invited God to be a part of what we're doing. Now, all of a sudden, we have nothing to do with the end. I don't know. I'm throwing that out. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul reveals a little bit about how things will end in his letter to the Corinthians. And he says this, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24 and 25, he says, then the end comes when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. See, Jesus reigns on earth through you and I. He reigns on earth through you and I. When we do what he says, when we apply the word of God to our life, when we let that happen, and here's the deal. Bible tells us when you and I are unified together in one heart and one mind, the power of God comes through us as a whole church. Everybody doing their right and responsible thing. The power of God begins to flow through us into a dimension where the world will see who Jesus Christ really is. This exalted man, God on earth, incredible creator that lives through us. But it's not our power, it's his. See, I believe you and I, I believe you and I and generations to come have a part to play in the determining when the end comes. I don't know what all that means. I don't have answers to all of that. But if God has used humanity from the beginning of time, and he continues to use humanity even right now as we speak, then humanity is involved in what is going on with the end of all things. I don't know what that is, but I challenge you. I challenge you to look at this. I challenge you to see, okay, God, what is my responsibility? What is my part? What am I doing or what am I not doing? Am I hindering your plan upon the earth? We need to ask ourselves, instead of casting everything into the sovereignty of God bucket, let's take responsibility and put it into our bucket and see what we can do. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the truth. And I know, Lord, that we lack understanding. But I thank you, Lord, as we grow in our maturity and our love for you, that you will release more understanding, more power and authority to us, your children. We thank you for this today, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. And help us to understand, Lord. I don't know how the whole thing ends and all of this happens, but I do know I love you today. And I thank you for being a part of my life today. May I be a reflection and take this responsibility to be a witness as serious as I can. Because I know, Lord, your life flowing through me changes people's lives. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.